Thanks, Brendan. Well, it's good to be here. Happy Father's Day to everyone, to you and your dad and your kin. It's good to be here. I don't always do a Father's Day message, but today we are, because this has actually been in my heart for months. Really just the importance of fatherhood, the importance of dads, and it's an important thing. And I also like to be controversial. So the title of our message today is The Universe is a Patriarchy. All right? The universe is a patriarchy. Don't throw any rotten tomatoes at me yet. I'm going to break this down. Now, obviously, patriarchy is a loaded term. From Barbie to Barbie movie to popular culture, the patriarchy, you know, has all the connotations of male dominance and oppression and unequal treatment, and we are not advocating for that, okay? That is not okay. But patriarch literally means, if you break it down, it's the rule of fathers, father rule. And a really amazing reality of the universe is that there is a ruler of the universe, and the ruler identifies himself as a father. And the character of the ruler of the universe is a father. As we were singing, God in three persons, Blessed Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that has huge implications. That is very different than if the ruler of the universe was just a dictator or an impersonal force. But the God of the universe, the God who made the universe and everything in it, is personal and has the characteristics of a father in particular. And depending on your relationship with your father, that may bring up different connotations. But if you think about all the best attributes of fathers, the stuff that if you wrote a card to your dad this weekend, the stuff that you highlighted about what they were like, or if you called them and thanked them for who they are, their best attributes are a pale reflection, but they are a reflection of the Father, because God is a good Father. And that just, like, when you get that changes everything. So this morning, we're going to be talking about, I want you to listen on a couple levels. We're going to be talking about the importance of fatherhood. And first application for all of us is knowing and appreciating God as our Father at a deeper level. No matter what our human earthly experience has been, relating to God as the perfect Father who is our Father and wants us to experience Him as a good Father more than we ever have. Also, it is that's the main thing. Secondary purpose is for us to relate to whether, if you're a dad, it's going to be to call out those attributes that God's called you into, or if you're a man that it's not a dad yet, or maybe. Isn't whether you're going to have children or not. There are fatherly qualities that God has put in you and wants you to live out in your relationships with other people. And so I just believe that God wants to give us a greater vision for, like, wow, that is a powerful thing that God has uniquely put in men to touch lives and shape lives as in ways that men can only men can do, really, in a certain way. And also, this is to help us, all of us, relate to the fathers and men in our lives and to honor them. So, the universe is a patriarchy. What is good patriarchy? What is good fatherhood all about? I was talking to Michelle, who is my fiance, who's actually moving her stuff up here tomorrow, and she's moving into our new house on Tuesday, and she's sick, or she would have been here, but I was talking to her about this message, and I said, yeah, this one's going to be really for the dads, for the men. Like, every other week, it's for women and everybody. This is for everybody, too. But this is going to be especially highlighting the qualities of masculinity and manhood that are so important. But it relates to all of us. So there's, you know, not only is God a good father, but there, even that word patriarch is used in the Bible a handful of times, not a ton, but it's used in a positive way. Because patriarch, it's speaking of fathers. On the high level Bible scholarly resource of gotquestions.com, it says the biblical patriarchs are the line of men God used to establish the nation of Israel. the line of men who God used to establish the nation of Israel. And you can think of that, really, the line of men who God used to establish his kingdom on earth. And all throughout the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, there were these lists of the nation, and it was broken down according to the families and the tribes, which were families, and then those were broken down into family groups. And then it would list, like, who was the head of that family? Who was the patriarch of that family? Because there was an understanding that as the leaders of the families go, so go the nation. And there's just a reality to that. In 1 Chronicles 5:24, here's one example. It says, these were the heads of their fathers' houses: Epher, Ishi, Eliel, Ezreel, Jeremiah, Hodaviah, and Jahadiel. Mighty warriors, famous men, heads of their fathers' houses. And all throughout the scripture, there's this idea that, man, as these leaders of families go, so go the family, so go the nation, so goes civilization. And so fatherhood is so important. And so what that leads us to, just if that's so important, then what is it? Like, what are fathers supposed to be? What are the things that fathers bring to the table, or are designed to bring to the table, that only dads can do? There's a ministry several of us have been through called Living Waters that's about healing in places of relational and sexual brokenness. And one of the highlights of this program, this course, is at the end, you're talking about the values of masculinity and femininity and the brokenness in those places. And at the end, there's an exercise where you put all the men on one side of the room and all the women on the other side. And then you speak across the room and you express your appreciation for those qualities. Like, the men are saying, we appreciate your kindness. And the women are like, we appreciate your strength. We appreciate your endurance. And it goes back and forth. And it's so incredible to see, like, how deeply we are touched by those qualities in the other gender. And the thing about fathers, it's like, man, this could be so many things. But I'm going to look at five functions of fathers. Five functions of fathers that are from God, and they're expressed in the role of fatherhood in a unique way. And, you know, this is obviously not everything, but these are really important. First one, again, this relates to both natural fathering and spiritual fathering, and God and the fathers he's raising up. Fathers generate. Fathers generate. What does that mean? Fathers reproduce. Fathers instigate life. The word, like, patriarchy, I said it's father rule, but that the arc, the rule, if you even look at it more closely, can mean rule, but it really means the first or to begin something. It's the origin. And so you think of, like, Genesis, or in the Bible there are all these genealogies where it's this man lived, and then he begat this son, and he begat. It's this, he reproduced. He initiated life. And he did something that only men can do that resulted in new life coming. Not by himself, in partnership with a woman, but there is an initiation that is in the place of fathers that is very important. And, you know, this connects to the creation mandate. When God first made people, he said, hey, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And there's a call for, and he said, and he made the men and women in his image. They had to come together and be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and rule it. There's that ruling. It means serving it, bringing God's good will into the world. It's, you know, classically throughout history, the sign of male strength and virility has been the ability to reproduce. I'm reading through the Bible with my daughter Amzi right now, and we're reading through Judges right now. There's some really weird stories in Judges, and it's the judges were the leaders of Israel, and there are a couple of them. It's like, yeah, this was a judge. He had 40 sons, and this judge had 70 sons, literally 70 sons, and they all rode around on donkeys. You're like, wow, I'm not like advocating that for any of you, okay? Definitely not the way they got there, but with multiple wives and all that. But there was just an assumption, or just an understanding that, like, the ability to reproduce is connected to the male calling. And, you know, that's it's not only physical, but it's beyond that. But there is an attack on that. In our culture, birth control is up, birth rates are down. Even sperm counts are down. It's interesting. But there are different factors of a sedentary lifestyle, cell phone in your pocket, possibly, toxins. Like, there are all these things warring against the ability to procreate and generate. And so there's something in the nature of men to generate. I think about when I was a kid, my dad would do, as dads are natural at doing, he liked to wake us up in the morning when we weren't ready to wake up. And he would come into our room, and he had a corny side to him, I have to say that. But he would sing this like corny Christian tune. And we were like, asleep, and he'd be like, comes bounding up the stairs with noise and energy, and he starts singing, "Arise and shine and give God the glory, glory, rise and shine, give God the glory, glory." And you're just like, "Dad, no, I'm trying to stay asleep here." But there was just like this energy, and there was this approach that he was like, "My kids aren't going to sleep their lives away. It's time to get up. It's time to bring life into the world. It's time to make something happen." And dads have that ability. It's interesting that there is, even men, like, just stereotypes is not fully true, but there tends to be an generative ability in things like business, like entrepreneurship. Like God told the Israelites in Deuteronomy 8:18, "I give you the power to create wealth." The majority of entrepreneurs are men. If you look at the highest level composers and artists, there's a high percentage are men. It's not exclusive. The science, the inventions, there's this generative quality that God has put in men to create new things. That is essential for his kingdom. And there's also, you put a bunch of boys in a room, a bunch of unsupervised four-year-olds, there's a generative energy in there. It's not necessarily good. There's a high level of chaos. There are also way more men in prison than women as well. There's this, out of that generative, like there's this calling to create something, to produce something, to stir things up. And that is a God-given quality of fathers. So men, we're called to generate new life. Called to take that energy and to invest it in the right places, the right ways. There's actually another really weird story in the Bible, in Genesis 38, of this guy named Onan. And it says he was evil because he spilled his seed on the ground. All right, hope you can like figure out what that means. But he did not take his reproductive ability and invest it to create new life, to build God's family. He just spilled it on the ground. It was, and if you look at the context of it, it was like he didn't want to serve. It wasn't only about pleasure, but it was about not wanting to give to something that wasn't in his own self-interest. And there's a calling on men to take that generative ability and give ourselves to the right people and to build God's kingdom through it. So fathers, generate. Number two, fathers identify. Or you could say fathers give identity. There, in most cultures of the world, the family name is passed on from the father. And that's a reflection of God's order. That from the beginning, when God made Adam, the first task he gave him was to name all the animals. There's a calling, and that was before Eve was even created. There's this calling to identify, to speak, to give identity to other people and to things. This is from the Father. In Ephesians 3, 14 and 15, we're told, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named." Well, every family on earth, every person on earth gets their true name from the Father. And this is like a really, really important calling that God gives fathers. It can be for good or for evil. Guys also just have this propensity to give each other nicknames, right? I don't know. I mean, I don't know how many nicknames I had I was Johnny Cake, I was the Beast, I was the Priest, I was like all these different nicknames growing up. I remember in seventh grade, I was on the football team in a small town in Kansas, and I had spent the previous 2 years in Taiwan, where my parents had moved, but we came back first half of seventh grade, and I was doing pretty good, but I did something in practice, I didn't know what to do. And the coach goes, "Come on, Taiwan boy, what are you doing? You don't know how to play football." And it was like, there's just something that, like, man, coaches, like, give names. Like, and that one wasn't the most building up, where it was coming from. So it can be positive or it can be negative. But there's a power that God gives fathers to call forth the true identity of their sons and their daughters and people. There's a power in choosing names. I was thinking about all my kids' names and how we went through the process of naming them, and names have meanings. And it's an important thing. I think about my daughter Amzie, who's had a lot of health issues, but her name means my strength, meaning like the Lord is my strength. And I think about, wow, that is so true. Like, she is so resilient, she is so strong. And we speak that over her, like, Amzie, you're strong, you're a warrior, you're a battler. And in the darkest times, like the toughest struggles, oftentimes we're speaking that, Amzie, you're a battler, you're strong. And you can see, it's like, oh, okay, all right, let me lean into this a little bit. It's just getting in touch with our identity. And God has called us as people, and especially as fathers and men, to see the purpose of God in somebody, see the calling of God in somebody, and to speak it to them and to activate it. I remember when I was in college, my grandfather came to visit, and I was getting mentored by my pastor. And my grandfather was very much an achiever. He was an entrepreneur. He never saw a business opportunity he didn't like. And a few of them panned out well. Not all of them did. But he was very much a go-getter, like, let's do something. And he was asking my pastor, hey, what do you think about Jonathan? How's he doing? And the pastor said, he's doing good. And he said, I think Jonathan could be a pastor someday. And I had never heard anyone say that before. I don't know that I've ever really thought that before. But when he said those words, it was like something resonated, like, wait a minute. I think maybe that's what I'm supposed to do. I think that's when I was a kid, I said I wanted to be a rancher or a farmer. So, like, there's something in me. Like, I just was like, yeah, I think that's it. But it took, if nobody had said that, I don't know that I would have found that part of my calling. And so it's so important to have fathers to discern and speak identity into other people. It's such a powerful thing. Fathers generate, fathers identify. What else do fathers do? Fathers love. I was trying to think of a better word than love, but I don't know a better word than love for love. It's a good word. Fatherhood is not just about procreation, but protection and care and pouring your heart and life into another person from a place of your heart being, man, oh man, whatever I could do. I remember something changes. Something changes when you have a child. I remember when my first son was born, and it was awesome. It's like, yes, man, whatever I can do for this boy. And then 18 months later, my daughter Anna was born. And I remember when she was born, and we hadn't had a sonogram, and they said, it's a girl. And I just felt like the wave of, like, oh my goodness, I've got a daughter. This is my little girl. It was a totally different, like, oh man, nobody's going to hurt her. Like, I'm going to do anything I can to protect her. Father's love. Psalm 103:13 says, just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Man, God's interaction with us, his thoughts towards us, come from that place of a fatherly compassion. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. And this is so important. This is where all the abuses of toxic masculinity and chauvinism and males using their strength for their own agenda and to take advantage and to hurt, it's all of that would be solved if love was reigning in their hearts. And when love is reigning in their hearts, then those things are not the issues. One of my people I truly respect is a guy named Andrew Comiskey, who leads Desert Streams Ministry in Kansas City. I mentioned earlier, it's the ministry that does the ministry for sexual and relational brokenness. And Andrew Kaminsky came out of a homosexual lifestyle before he met Jesus, and his life was transformed. And he's helped, literally this ministry has helped thousands of people in different places of sexual brokenness, including homosexuality. And he talks about this quality of a father, the love of a father. I just want to read what he says, and we have it up on the screen. Whole human parents grant us a glimpse of divine empowerment. While the mother tends to play a more important role than the father in the early nurture and bonding with the child, fathers will engage heartily with their children, heartily as in from the heart, in order to help clarify their identities and boundaries. Such masculine empowerment is helpful to the extent that the father engages with the child consistently and kindly. His attentiveness to the child, taking time to discern who she or he is and what she or he is inclined toward, opens a door for the child to the Heavenly Father who numbers every hair on your head. The way a father takes interest and time and concern and care to his child, to really know them, who they are, what they're like, what's going on, that brings health and it attunes them to the Father. It reflects that, who knows every hair on our head. Such kindness and consistency help the child to welcome the Father's authority as a good thing, a benevolent power that protects, affirms, and frees one to know one's limits in love. So the Father, we're going to get to this more later, Father's job is a lot about limits, about discipline, about guidance. But it's essential that it's from a place of love for it to be healthy and impactful in a good way. Psychologists refer to this type of father as salient, meaning a father who's authoritative and nurturing at the same time. Equal parts strength and benevolence. Man, that's the model right there. Equal parts strength and benevolence. Clinical studies show that children who possess such fathers tend to avoid getting stuck in homosexuality, heterosexual promiscuity, or narcissism, and tend toward vocational success. Wow, having a dad like this frames your identity. It helps all the false identities, all false identities that are so easy to stumble into and are so much coming upon people as options in our culture. Having that kind of father helps to know, no, this is who I truly am. And okay, I'm gonna direct my life in appropriate, healthy ways. All right, so father's love. So men, we're called to bless people from a place of caring deeply about their lives, to bring blessing into them from a place of deep care and love. So fathers generate, fathers identify, fathers love, fathers affirm. This is very much related. Fathers bring affirmation. When Jesus, the Son of the Father, showed up on earth and was getting ready to start his ministry, he had this encounter with God when he was baptized. And it says in Matthew 3:17, "Behold, a voice from heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.'" Wow, even Jesus, it was powerful for him to hear the voice of the Father say, "Hey, I am pleased with you. You are my Son. You got it. You got what it takes." And that is the voice of God that we all need. We all need to hear the Father say, for women, it tends to be more like, "You are beautiful. You are captivating. You are enough." For men, it tends to be more of the, "Hey, you have what it takes. You got it. You have what is needed. I've given you what you need." And there's a powerful role of the Father. And we need that from God. And I'm not trying to be stereotypical. We all need all those messages. We need affirmation. We need the voice of the Father to say, "Hey, you got it." There's something just and as men and as women and as fathers, there's a calling to speak the affirmation of God. There's a calling to speak words that build one another up, to be encouraging, to see something, say, hey, you got it, I'm with you, man, you got it, and to affirm people. And as there's a confidence and a soundness that comes from that place. So men, we're called to communicate approval and affirmation to our sons and daughters. Fathers affirm. And then the last one I want to hit on is fathers train. Fathers train. Fathers bring discipline. This is inherent in a father's wiring. It's just very much how God has made men to instill discipline and order and direction to their children and to others. In Hebrews 12:8, the author of Hebrews says, if you're left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you're illegitimate children and not sons. Now he's speaking in that culture like, hey, all of you got disciplined as kids, right? That's just like everyone got disciplined. I got disciplined. I think if he was writing today, you maybe couldn't say this because it's very common not to be disciplined growing up. But he's saying, hey, that's what fathers do. Good fathers discipline their children. And if you don't, it's like the symptom of being illegitimate, because a legitimate father, like a good father, one of the things they're supposed to do is to provide discipline. In Ephesians 6:1-4, I'm just going to read this. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Fathers, don't provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. That for most of us men, because we're wired to discipline our kids, in our fallenness and our brokenness, where we get off is doing it in frustration and anger and maybe putting too much on them. And so there has to be this balance, these guardrails. Like, hey, train them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, but don't exasperate them. Don't put on too much. I've been convicted by this so many times. We're like, oh, shoot, there I go again. Oh, I got to apologize to my kids again because I came on too strong. I came on too much. But the training, like, is so valuable, so important. That's what we're all called to be, disciples. And that's a disciple is a disciplined learner, one who has discipline in our lives. And that comes from God. It comes from his word, and it often comes through people, where we're coming under that and letting that direct our lives. So fathers, generate, identify, love, affirm, and train. Man, you think about like a father who does all that, that is so potent. That is so potent. Sons and daughters who grow up with those qualities, man, there is a major, major advantage. Even when we don't get that, and to the degree that we don't get that in our natural family, and all of us, there are gaps for all of us. One of the beauties of the church is that God puts people in our life who can help bring these things into our lives and help us. And ultimately, God is the one who brings these things to us. And so, man, I believe this morning God is just helping us to see the essentialness, the value of him as the father, and fatherhood as a calling. Fathers are essential. We all need to be fathered, and every man's called to be a father. So maybe this morning you're seeing where you lack this. Maybe as I'm going through this list, you're like, shoot, I didn't get, there's a lot of that I didn't get. I wish I would have gotten it. What do I do with that? Well, first of all, I bet it's interesting, like that Ephesians verse, it quotes the commandment, one of the Ten Commandments of honor your father and mother, because I bet there was something that you got from your father, of the father. And there is something powerful in recognizing that and honoring God by honoring your father and your mother for what he's put in them. But it's also an opportunity to say, okay, Lord, I didn't get it as much as I would have liked to, but Lord, I'm looking to you to father me. I'm looking for you to bring those things into my life. If you're a father or a potential father, man, there's an opportunity to ask God, grow me up. I want to be one of these godly patriarchs in a good way. I want to be someone who brings God's rule, helps shape people in this way. And, you know, for all of us, it's an opportunity to get this from God. We're actually going to end with, we're going to transition into communion together now. And as I was thinking about this, I think it's an opportunity for us to lean into the reality that God really is our Father through the work, through the reconciliation that Jesus has brought about on the cross. It's interesting that in the Old Testament, I did a word search on this week, there are about, in the Old Testament's like four times longer than the New Testament, but there are about five times where God is referred to as a Father in the Old Testament. And then in the New Testament, where Jesus comes and he takes care of the divide of sin and the brokenness of sin that separated us from the Father, there are just dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of times that God is referenced as the Father. Because the experience of knowing the Father is possible through the work of the Son. And all the division and the gap and the lack and the limitation, Jesus came. You can see the gospel is about reconciling people to their Father. And the work of what Jesus did on the cross does that. In Matthew 23:9, this is like, seems like it would undercut a lot of what I've said this morning, but I'm going to read it anyway. Jesus said, "Don't call anyone on earth your father, for only one is your father, he who's in heaven." And I mean, this is the same, you know, Jesus who said, "Honor your father and mother." He honored his father. But he's making the point that really there is one Father. There is the Father. And he is the one that we are to look to as our source. He is the one who we are to honor. He is the one who gives us what we need and brings those Father qualities into our life, into the world. And so I just invite us this morning to lean into that. You know, another thing Andrew Comiskey said is that we could say that the wound most common to all humanity is the tearing between father and child. The wound most common to all humanity is the tearing between father and child. A cry for masculine strength and wisdom echoes like a lament. Now, there's something we deeply feel of that need for the Father and the place where that's lacking in our souls. And the cross is the place where God makes the way through taking our sin and taking that division and restoring us to the Father and restoring us then to one another as well. And so this morning I want to invite us to come to God. And let's just take a minute. Go ahead and close your eyes. I just want to pray for us before we get the elements, receive communion. Lord, wherever we're at this morning, we need you, our Father. Lord, we are wired to be in relationship with you, to be restored to you. Lord, I pray this morning that in places of separation, in places of insecurity, in places of the gaps in our own upbringing, Lord, that you would, Lord, through our faith in you, through our faith in what you've done on the cross of taking our sin and restoring us, that you would fill those gaps, Lord. Lord, I pray for us who are dads and us who are potential dads, Lord, the gaps in our souls, Lord, to be good fathers. Lord, we're looking to you to, as you meet our needs, to make us those kind of dads. Lord, make us those kinds of men that the world needs. Lord, to be a reflection of you. Lord, even as we receive the elements this morning, Lord, I pray that you would do a work in us to raise us up and continue that. We trust you in Jesus' name. Amen.